When Paul was writing to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter number 4, he was writing to them about the new life that we have in Christ, and that the old is gone and we've got a brand new life, and part of that new life is putting off the old and applying the new, that we become the new creature that God made us when He saved us. And one of the areas that we need to put away, that is, that's connected to the old life, is indeed the problem of sinful anger. We've been discovering in this series of messages what Paul meant when he wrote in verse number 26 to be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And we've discovered that anger is a common human experience. All of us experience it from time to time. And we've also discovered that anger can lead us down the direction of sin. It can lead to sin. And while there is indeed a righteous anger, that is an anger that flows out of a love of righteousness, which is justifiable in a godly anger, there is also the anger that leads to sin. And anger is revealed in our countenance, but it's also revealed in our conversation and what comes out of our mouth, and it's revealed in our conduct, in the way that we act or what it is that we do. Many times, most of the time, when you and I speak or whenever we react out of anger, we go way too far and we end up doing and saying things that are sinful and that cause us a whole lot of problems and that are an offense to God. And so the apostle is telling us here that's how the lost world operates. And now that you're no longer lost and you belong to God, and for that reason, you need to put that away. That is, anger is one of those things that is the anger that leads to sin that needs to be put away in our lives. And we need to put it away as quickly as possible. And that is, don't hold on to it and deal with it as fast as you can. That's what he means when he said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That means as fast as you can get rid of anger, you should do it. So we began trying to discover then a little bit about what the Bible reveals about anger. We looked at what I call the revelation about anger. We just examined the scriptures and looked at some of the statements in scripture that revealed to us the truth about anger. We looked at some of the stories in scripture about people who had a problem with anger and the results of that in their life and how it affected and impacted their lives all the way from destruction to those who were distressed and wanted their lives to end because anger had turned in on themselves so that they themselves wanted for their life to be over. That's what anger does to you. It destroys the people around you, the relationships around you. It'll distract you from walking with God. It'll cause distrust in relationships and disobedience to God, and it'll cause you internal distress and depression on the inside of you. That's what anger leads to. That's what the Bible reveals about anger. And so we've tried to look at the roots of anger, try to discover where anger grows out of. We looked beyond, ladies and gentlemen, we looked beyond the chemicals within us and the circumstances around us and the choices by us, and we discovered that anger really is rooted in the world, the flesh, and the devil. That is the world around us that is fallen and sinful, and the flesh within us that's corrupt as well. And then the devil, ladies and gentlemen, is always looking for an inroad into our life. And anger is one of those ways that he uses to find an inroad into our life so that he can cause all kinds of problems. That is, so that he can deceive souls, and so he can destroy homes and divide churches and devour lives. That's what the devil is up to. The roots of anger, that's what we have to deal with our relationship with the world. We've got to deal with our flesh, and we also have to learn how to resist the devil if we're going to be able to deal with anger. And so there is indeed this revelation about anger. The Bible tells us all about it. And then there is this, the roots of anger, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we've been trying to focus the last few services on the remedy for anger. That is, we've been trying to find out whether or not there is a remedy to this problem that we have with anger that leads to sin. And we have discovered that there is indeed a remedy. As a matter of fact, a remedy is a person. And that person has a name. The name of that person was revealed to Mary when she conceived. It was revealed to Joseph when the pregnancy of Mary was announced. And his name is Jesus. The remedy for the problem of anger is indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the person of Christ. Again, I want to remind you, and I know that that sounds so simplistic to our complicated world that we live in, ladies and gentlemen, and to a difficult problem. And I'm not trying to minimize all of the things, all of the different elements that go into the anger that we experience at all. But the answer is still the same. That is the remedy for the problem of anger. The real remedy, ladies and gentlemen, the lasting remedy is found in Christ. And that means that if you're saved, if you've received Christ into your life, you already have the remedy to the problem of anger that leads to sin. Again, let me remind you that that somebody might ask, if I have the remedy, then why do I still battle with anger that leads to sin? Well, just because the remedy is available to you doesn't mean that you've appropriated it to yourself. And that is, if you're in Christ, then you have the remedy. But listen to me now, you've got to appropriate what it is that God has given you in Christ. It's like going to the doctor. You've got a cold. There's a lot of sickness going around. Somebody gets sick and they've got the flu, or they've got a cold, or they've got a virus, or they've got an ear infection, whatever it might be. And you go to the doctor and the doctor says, here's the medicine. Here's the remedy for your problem. You've got it sitting right there in your house, wherever you keep your medicine. Maybe it's right there on your table, right there where you sit down and eat, and you look at it and you're looking at the remedy. It is right there. But listen to me now, you've got to take it. You've got to appropriate it. That is, you've got to swallow that pill. You've got to take that medicine if you're going to be able to experience the remedy. And even so it is in our lives. And that is, if you're in Christ, you have everything you need provided for you. That is the remedy for the problem of anger that leads to sin, but you and I have to appropriate it to our lives. I've said to you in our previous messages, the remedy, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to appropriate is our position, the position of the saints. We've been positioned in Christ at the moment of our conversion, and that means that the old man, the old us, is dead, and we've been raised a brand new person in Christ. And we learned in several messages how it is that you and I are to apply that position. That is, if the old man is dead, then put the old away. And if we've been raised a new person in Christ, then we need to put on the new. And we learn from the book of Colossians how it is that we can do that. There's the position of the saints. That is, we learned last Sunday evening, ladies and gentlemen, there's also the peace of the Son. That is, in Colossians 3:15, the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that is, that this peace of God that became available to you and a reality in your life at the moment of your conversion, ladies and gentlemen, that it can become dominant, it can rule or be dominating in your life. Anger does not have to dominate your life. That is, you can be dominated by peace. Let the peace of God, that is the peace that Jesus paid for at the cross, the peace, ladies and gentlemen, that you received at your conversion, the peace that is produced in you by the Spirit of God and by the presence of Christ as you kneel before Him in prayer, that same peace can dominate you from the inside out. That is, God has provided what you need. There's the position of the saints, and there's the peace of the Son. And then there is what we began looking at this past Wednesday night, the power of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter number 4, after Paul writes about be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. When you keep reading down through there, he finally gets to verse number 30 where he writes these words, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I like that little verse because it just reminds me that the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not just a force or an it, but it's the Holy Spirit is a person, just like the God the Father is a person and God the Son is a person. God the Holy Spirit is a person who can be grieved. The idea of being grieved is the idea of being made sorrowful or the idea of experience pain. That is, the Holy Spirit can experience sorrow. And listen, you and I can cause the Holy Spirit to experience sorrow. That is, it could be our selfish attitude that brings sorrow to the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Ladies and gentlemen, it could be our sinful actions that grieve or bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. But I tell you, it may well be in context, it may well be our seething anger that also grieves the Holy Spirit of God. When you and I, listen, when we become angry and don't deal with it quickly, that is, when we become angry and we let the sun go down upon our wrath, I believe that may be one of the things that grieves the Spirit of God. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says here to stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe that may be one of the keys that is the remedy to the problem of anger, is stop grieving the Spirit of God and allow the Spirit of God to fill you from the inside out. That is, in Ephesians 5 verse 18, the very next chapter, he says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you'll stop grieving the Spirit, here's what He'll do in your life. He will fill you from the inside out. The idea of being filled with the Spirit is the idea of being controlled or dominated by the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The Spirit of God who came to live in you wants to dominate your life, control you from the inside out. Now listen, our first experience with the power of the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, happened at our conversion. It's when God brought us, God the Holy Spirit worked in our hearts and brought us to the point of brokenness. That is that point of surrender. That is, He broke us, and listen, when He brought us to that point of brokenness, when we turned to Christ, He birthed us into the family of God. He baptized us into the body of Christ at the very moment of our conversion. All of that took place, and the Spirit of God did that. And since our conversion, we've been experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. We've experienced His presence. He actually lives on the inside of us. We've experienced His preservation. The Bible says we are sealed all the way to the point of redemption, that is, the redemption of our body at the second coming. And we're experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life since our conversion. That is, when you got saved, the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of you, and He came to live on the inside of you to continue a powerful work in your life after your conversion, working powerfully in you. And if you just want grieving, if you'll stop grieving the Spirit of God and allow Him to fill you and dominate you, He will do a powerful work in your life. And listen, the work that He'll do in you is powerful enough to give you victory over the anger that leads to sin. The Spirit of God living on the inside of you, the power of the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to help you get the victory over anger. Now listen, if the Spirit of God living on the inside of you is not powerful enough to overcome anger, then ladies and gentlemen, we are misreading the entire Bible. From Genesis 1, where the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, ladies and gentlemen, all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, you and I are misreading the Bible. If the Spirit of God can move upon the face of the waters and, listen, in conjunction with the divine word, bring about this created world, then I think He can handle your anger. He's powerful enough. There's somebody living in you that is powerful enough to help you with your anger. And it is the Spirit of God. Now, let me just kind of talk to you a little bit about that a little bit more. The reason why I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit giving you victory over anger is because, first of all, He has the power to convict us. He has the power to convict us. Now, we know that's true when we were lost. And that is, before we got saved, ladies and gentlemen, the power of God, the power of the Spirit of God moved upon our hearts and convicted us. The Bible says in John 16, verses 8 through 11, the Spirit of God came and He convicted us of our sin, and He convicted us of righteousness, and He convicted us of judgment. And it was His convicting work on the inside of us as lost sinners that brought us to the point of turning to Christ and receiving Him as the Lord of our life. But listen, He not only convicts the sinners, which is what I'm learning, that is, He also convicts the saints. He sure does. His convicting work continues on after you're saved. Now, it's a different kind of conviction, isn't it? It's not a conviction that you're lost, but it is a conviction of awareness of those areas of your life that need to be transformed and changed. That is, He deals with us about those areas of our life. As a matter of fact, He operates through one big means. He operates through a lot of means, but one of the ways that He operates is through the Scripture, that is, through the Word of God. To convict us, ladies and gentlemen, to convict us of those areas of our life that desperately need to change. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 16, here's what Paul wrote. He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." And listen, when the Bible says here that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it literally means that inspiration is a word that means God breathed. It is literally God breathed. And listen, the idea of God's breath and God's Spirit use the same Greek word here. In other words, it's talking about the Spirit of God gave us the Word of God. The divine breath, or the divine Spirit, that is the reason why we have the Bible. Holy men of God, ladies and gentlemen, we're moved by the Holy Spirit, Peter tells us, as they wrote the Scriptures. This book is a divinely inspired book. And it is divinely inspired, ladies and gentlemen, not by the men who wrote, but by the Spirit of God. The divine breath. And do you know the Spirit of God revealed the Word of God? And one of the reasons why is so that you and I might be convicted in the areas we need to be convicted in. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 16 again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And listen now, is profitable, or it's beneficial, or it's helpful for all of us in these areas. First of all, in doctrine, so that we'll know what it is that we should believe. But secondly, He tells us there, for reproof. And that is the Word of God. The Spirit of God has given us the Word of God so that we might be reproved. Now, that not only includes the sinner, but it also includes the saint. In other words, as I heard the Word of God before I got saved, the Spirit of God dealt with my heart and convicted me of my lost and sinful condition. But now that I'm saved, as I listen to the Word of God, listen now, we are convicted of those areas of our life that need to change. Those areas of our life that look like the old man and not like the new. That is, the Spirit of God convicts us of our selfish attitudes and our sinful acts. And I'll tell you one of the things He'll convict you about. He'll convict you about your seething anger. That anger on the inside of you that you know is leading to sin. That problem of anger on the inside of you that you know is wrong. That area of anger that you know needs to change. And listen, He'll begin convicting you about that in your life. So that you don't go on living like a lost person, but there's somebody on the inside of you that makes you aware of it and you realize it's wrong and that grieves the Spirit of God. You see, the reason why the power of the Holy Spirit is the remedy for the problem of anger is because He has the power to convict us. Not only does He have the power to convict us, but He has the power to correct us. The Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16 that the Spirit of God gave us the Word of God not only for doctrine and reproof, but also for correction. That is, He not only convicts us of those areas of our life that needs to change, but I tell you, He knows how to fix the problem. He knows how to correct us. I like the little word correct that is used in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3 and verse number 16. It carries the idea of making something right or making something straight. It is used, the same word is used of the disciples of our Lord who are mending their broken nets. Remember when the disciples of our Lord were along the Sea of Galilee and Jesus said, "Come and follow me," and the Bible says they were sitting there mending their nets. That word that's used there is the same word used here for correction. In other words, they were fixing their nets that were torn and broken so that they could use them for fishing. But I'm so glad that God knows how to mend my net and yours too. There's just some areas of your net, of your life, ladies and gentlemen, that are broken and not what they ought to be. Maybe they're not completely broken, they're just a little out of place. They're just not quite right. Now listen, you might be thinking of some areas right now in your life that you know are not quite right. And the reason why you know they're not quite right is because the Holy Spirit has convicted you of that. You didn't just figure it out on your own. The Spirit of God spoke, has been speaking to your heart and bothering you about that area of your life. He's been convicting you, and He's doing it not just to make you feel bad, but to get it straightened out. You know what I discovered about people? There are some people that like to feel bad. They like to feel bad about themselves. They like everybody to know that they feel bad about themselves. And the reason why is because it brings them a lot of attention. And that is, somebody's going to put their arm around them and pat them on the back and say, "Let's sit down and talk," and they're going to get a little bit of extra attention. But I want you to know the Spirit of God is not just trying to, He's not just trying to give you attention. He's trying to straighten this out. Here's what I found out. I found out that when somebody just has a problem and they're just wanting a little bit of attention, when you put your arm around them and said, "Let's go right now and get these things straightened out," the first thing they'll say, "No, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute." They don't really want to straighten it out. They've got, for example, if they have a problem with a person and they're telling you all about the problem they have with that person, and you say, "Well, let's just go find that person and straighten it out right now. I think we can straighten it out." Listen, many times folks who are not really wanting to correct anything, they balk at that. Well, I want to tell you, the Spirit of God, listen, He wants to correct in us what's broken. He wants to fix what needs to be fixed. And one of the areas, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, is that can be fixed, that He knows how to correct on the inside of us, is our problem with anger. You say, "Pastor, I don't know how to fix it." I know you don't, but He does. He does. There's nobody, including the greatest and most qualified counselors alive today, there's nobody that knows the human soul like the Spirit of God does. There's nobody who knows how to fix us like He does. As a matter of fact, the more I try to fix myself, the bigger a mess I make. But He knows how to fix it. The Spirit of God does. He has the power not only to convict us, but He has the power to correct us. And do you know that He also has the power as well to cleanse us. He can clean us up on the inside. That is operating through the Word. The Word of God, inspired by the Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen, is able not only to convict us of the areas that need to change and correct us in those areas, but is also able to cleanse us in the areas that need to be cleansed. Why, in Ephesians chapter number 5, we read these words about the Word of God given to us by the Spirit of God. That is right after we learn, ladies and gentlemen, about not grieving the Spirit in chapter number 4. Right after we learn about being filled with the Spirit in chapter 5 and verse number 18, you get to verse number 25. And the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the Word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy or set apart and without blemish. In other words, the Bible is telling us here, ladies and gentlemen, that our Lord Jesus, operating by his Spirit through the Word, is able to cleanse our lives. He's able to clean us up, the Bible says. He talks here about the washing of water, Paul does, by the Word. I mean, how is it then, if I've got this problem with anger, Paul, you're telling me be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I want to know how in the world you expect me to do that. And he's telling us in Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 25, he's telling us, ladies and gentlemen, about the Word of God inspired by the Spirit of God that can cleanse us, that is like the washing of water. The Word of God can cleanse us and make us holy and make us glorious and without any spot, no anger spots anymore. You say, Pastor, I've got some spots in my soul. It may not be the spots on your clothes. It may be the spots in your soul. That is, you may have a spot in your life that is what we might call a tender spot. And it might have something to do with anger. Or it may have something to do with something else. But it's a tender spot on the inside of you that is easily triggered, that's easily set off, that easily gets off the rails. A tender spot in your life. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us here that the Spirit of God operating through the Word of God is able to cleanse, ladies and gentlemen, and remove every spot out of your life and make you glorious, make us a glorious church, not having any spots or any wrinkles, but holy and without any blemish. He can perfect you, cleanse you, and perfect you. The Spirit of God can. You say, I've got some deep stains. Listen to me now. He knows how to get them out. He knows how. He does a better job than Shout does. The Spirit of God is operating in your life, and he's powerful, ladies and gentlemen. He's powerful enough to cleanse us. Jesus said that we're cleansed through the Word. He said in John 15:3, cleansed through the Word that he has spoken unto us. And that is the words that are revealed by the Lord Jesus as revealed by the Spirit in the Scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. He operates through the Word to cleanse us, to clean up all the dirt and filth and stains in our life. Listen, we grieve Him when we are filthy with sin. But instead of grieving the Spirit of God, why don't you just start cooperating with Him in this cleansing work that He wants to do in your life? He wants to clean you up. We're like a little kid not wanting to get in the bathtub sometimes. You know those little kids, don't you? And that his mama said it's time for you to take a bath, and those little kids that don't want to get, they don't want to stop playing long enough to get in the bathtub. I was one of those little boys at one time. I had things to do, and it didn't matter if it was getting dark to me or not, and I wanted to keep on playing outside, and mama said it's time to come on in, and you boys need to get a bath. We filled up she filled up the bathtub. It's time to get in the, I didn't want to get in the bathtub until I absolutely had to. And now, listen to me now, we're kind of the same way, and that is God the Holy Spirit is trying to clean us up. There's areas of our life that are smelly and stinky, and he's trying to clean us up. And listen, we grieve him by resisting him. Why don't you just go ahead and get in a holy bath tub and let God clean you up? The Spirit of God wants to cleanse us. So start cooperating with Him in this cleansing work that He wants to do in your life. That's the reason why Paul wrote what he did in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. Listen to this verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So if the Spirit of God is wanting to cleanse me and perfect me, then why don't I go ahead and just help Him out? Why don't I go ahead and cooperate with Him? If there's something in my life that he's revealing to me that has to go, then why don't I just give it the boot? That is, cleanse yourself. That is, if it's filthy, the filthiness of the flesh, outer sin, or if it's the filthiness of the spirit, inner attitudes, whatever it might be, outer actions, inner attitudes, why don't you just go ahead and clean that up and go ahead and take another step towards perfect holiness, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He wants to help you do that. And you can cooperate. Instead of grieving him, why don't you cooperate with him? Why, James tells us that as well in James chapter number 4 and verse number 8. James said, draw nigh or near to God and he will draw nigh or near to you. And then he tells us how to do it. He said, Pastor, I sure would like to draw near to God. Listen to the rest of the verse. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's how you draw near to God. You need to wash your hands and purify your hearts. It's talking about, again, the outer person and the inner person, the hands symbolizing the outer man, the actions on the outside, and then purifying the hearts is talking about letting God clean us up on the inside. Now, you can cooperate with God in that. You say, I'm waiting on God to zap me. Why don't you go ahead and just start taking some steps yourself? If you know something's wrong, why don't you stop doing it? Hey, why don't you stop thinking it? And why don't you stop looking at it? And why don't you stop listening to it? Why don't you just go ahead and start erasing that out of your life? If it's wrong, if it's filthy, if it grieves the Spirit of God. Listen, if there's anger abiding on the inside of you, why don't you take some positive steps towards experiencing cleansing in that area? The Spirit of God is trying to cleanse you, and he's wanting you to cooperate with him. So what do I need to do? Why don't you just start confessing it to him? Why don't you start crying out to him? Why don't you just start, why don't you just allow him to begin to erase that out of your life? I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. He has the power to convict us and to correct us and also to cleanse us. You say, what is it the Holy Spirit wants to cleanse out of my life? Well, there'd probably be many things, but Paul wrote about some specific things in Ephesians chapter number 4. Notice what he wrote. Back in our text in Ephesians chapter number 4, when you get down towards the end of the verse, he says in verse number 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. And we've discovered if we're not going to grieve the Spirit of God, then we need to let him convict us, correct us, and we need to let him cleanse us. What are some things that he wants to cleanse? Listen to the next verse, verse 31. Let our bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, there may be a list right there that the Spirit of God wants to cleanse out of your life. That is, if you and I are not going to grieve the Spirit, but instead cooperate with the Holy Spirit, here's some things that have got to go. These are things that grieve the Spirit of God. These are the things that he convicts us of, wants to correct and cleanse out of our life. Notice here the very first one that he lists is bitterness. The Spirit of God wants to cleanse bitterness out of your life. Say, Pastor, what do you mean by bitterness? I'm talking about hurt that is not dealt with. And that is when somebody does something, says something, or something happens that hurts you on the inside, and you don't deal with that hurt, ladies and gentlemen, it'll turn into bitterness on the inside of you. Now, you'll know when it turns into bitterness. Let me again emphasize, how do you know whenever hurt has turned into bitterness? Well, when it's turned into bitterness, you think about it an awful lot. It's on your mind a lot. That hurt that you're experiencing on the inside is something you think about, is something you like to talk about. When you get together with your friends, you want to talk about the hurt that's on the inside of you. And the reason why is because it hasn't been put away yet. And it's turning into bitterness on the inside of you. It's dominating your thoughts. It's dominating your conversation. It's turning you, when you wake up in the middle of the night, that's what's on your mind. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, that hurt that's on the inside of you is like an infection developing in you. And that is, it's a hurt that's not healing, but instead just gets worse and worse over time as though developing an infection. That's bitterness. It's the infection of the soul that develops out of a hurt that we've experienced. And many of those hurts, ladies and gentlemen, are not made up hurts. They are legitimate hurts. Somebody really did something, something really happened, and sometimes it can be something really bad that happened in your life that really, really hurt you. It could be something that somebody did to you. It could be something that happened to you. Listen to me now. It could be just somebody who passed away. It could be any of life's circumstances that hurts you deeply, that if that hurt is not dealt with and healed, it becomes infectious. It becomes bitterness on the inside of you. Now listen, the Spirit of God does not want you to be full of bitterness. The Spirit of God living on the inside of you wants to cleanse that out of your life. And that's the reason why you got to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You got to learn how to walk in the Spirit, how to yield to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God wants to cleanse that out of your life, and He can. He has the power to cleanse bitterness out of your life. Not only bitterness, but He also mentions anger, the very word that we're dealing with. And that is when bitterness lays in your soul. That is when hurt is not dealt with and it becomes full of infection. That is, you're thinking about it a lot. It's on your mind all the time. You wake up at night thinking about it. You talk about it to others. That hurt that has turned into bitterness on the inside of you, if you don't get that bitterness dealt with, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to turn into anger on the inside of your heart. You say, how do you know when it's turned into anger on the inside? Because you get to boiling on the inside. And that is, you're not just hurt now. You're boiling on the inside. You're in turmoil on the inside. You're starting to think of ways that you can get back at that person. You're starting to think of ways that you, of responding to whatever it is that was the source of the hurt to begin with. And what you're thinking about is not godly and not right. And as you're becoming angry on the inside, that is, hostility is rising on the inside of you. And that's anger. That's how you know when you become angry. Now, the Bible says here, this is one of the things that need to be put away. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, hey, let that be put away from you. Hey, that's what the Spirit of God wants to cleanse out of your life. Now, listen, I'm not talking about just putting it away so you can get it back out. I'm talking about washing it away. The washing of water of the Word. The Spirit of God wants to cleanse you of that. He wants to wash it down the drain. It's not like the little Anders boys that get in the bathtub, and by the time we get out of there, the water's so dirty, we're still dirty. No, I'm talking about you getting clean before you get out, and when that drain plug is pulled, all of that stuff goes right down the drain, and it is gone, and you are squeaky clean, and Mama can come up to you and look behind your ears and around your neck and see that you are clean. The Spirit of God wants to cleanse you. He wants to cleanse out of your life bitterness, and He wants to cleanse out of your life anger. And listen to me now, He also lists wrath in verse number 31 as well. Now, wrath, ladies and gentlemen, is the expression of anger. That is, if you've been hurt on the inside and that hurt does not get healed, it turns into bitterness. And if bitterness doesn't get dealt with, it turns into anger. That is, hostility is now rising on the inside of you. And listen to me now, if anger doesn't get dealt with, that hostility that's rising on the inside of you is going to boil over in your life. It's not just boiling in you, but it will boil over. That's what wrath is. It's when anger gets expressed. You've gone from hurt to bitterness. Bitterness, the infection of the soul, and now you become angry, thoughts of hostility, and now you're acting out those thoughts of hostility, and that is, you're actually saying the things you've been thinking about saying and doing the things you've been thinking about doing. That's wrath. The Bible tells us here, this is one of the things the Spirit of God wants to put away from us. That is wrath being gone. Not only bitterness and anger and wrath, but He also mentions clamor. That word clamor in the King James is a word that's describing somebody who's fighting and brawling. Somebody that's ready to fight. You see the progression here. That is, we start with bitterness and we go to anger and then we go to wrath where listen, we start acting out that hostility and now we've come to clamor. That is, those that want to fight, they're ready for a fight. Now listen, you may not be ready to double up your fist and fight with your fist, but I tell you, there are folks that fight in other ways. Vengeful actions. The word clamor, listen, the Spirit of God wants to cleanse that out of your life. It's one of the things that needs to be put away. He wants to cleanse that out of your life. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Clamor grieves the Spirit of God. The Bible also mentions evil speaking, ladies and gentlemen. Evil speaking are words that are intended to hurt. And that is, as you and I become bitter in our hearts and anger begins to develop, and then wrath, ladies and gentlemen, and then clamor, that is, we're ready to fight. Many times the way that we fight is with our words. That is evil speaking. Words that now we're speaking that are intended to hurt the target of our bitterness and our wrath. The Bible is teaching us here that needs to be put away. And because of the power of the Holy Spirit, if you won't grieve Him, listen to me now, He can put that away. He can help you put away this in your life. And then, of course, the sixth word that He uses in verse 31 is the word malice. It's a general word for evil actions in this context, vengeful actions, and those who are seeking revenge against somebody else that they are angry with. All of that needs to be put away because it grieves the Spirit of God. And listen to me now, the Spirit of God wants to cleanse that out of your life. I'm talking to you now about the power of the Spirit of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the power of the Spirit of God, He has the power to convict us, and He has the power to correct us, and by the way, He has the power to cleanse us. And did you know that He has the power to change us? The Bible says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. Listen to these words. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image." That is, into the same image as the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that image from glory to glory. And listen to how it's done. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Did you know the Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen, has the power to change us? This word change is a word that describes being transformed or changed from the inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, what the Bible is telling us in 2 Corinthians 3:18 is as we behold the glory of the Lord in the Spirit-inspired scriptures described as being like a mirror or a glass here, as we do, the Holy Spirit is doing a powerful work on the inside of us of changing us into the same image that is the image of our glorious Lord. His goal in your life is to make you look like Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 8:29 that ladies and gentlemen, He has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. The Spirit of God is operating in our life to make us more like our glorious, glorious Lord. Not a fading glory like Moses experienced. That is, when he had to put that veil over his face. That's what the apostle was writing about in chapter number 3 earlier. That is, Moses put the veil over his face, and the reason why is because when he came down from Mount Sinai, he had a temporary glory that was fading away. So he put a veil over his face. But I'm going to tell you, the glory that you and I are being transformed into is not a temporary glory, and it's not a fading glory. The Bible says here, we go from glory to glory to glory to glory. In other words, you and I are growing in glory. We are growing into the same image of our Savior. We're becoming more like Jesus every day. And the reason why we are is because we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, ladies and gentlemen, and He is transforming our lives. He's making us like Christ. You say, "Pastor, how in the world is the Spirit of God able to make us like Christ?" Now listen to me now, if He's making me like Jesus, then that means this, and that means that He's trying to get rid of sinful anger. Our Lord had no sinful anger, righteous anger, but no sinful anger, and so the Spirit of God is trying to change that on the inside of me so that I become more like Him. Now, the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, that the Spirit of God, the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, the reason why it is our remedy to the problem of anger is because of the fruit that He produces. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, and I didn't find anger in there at all. I find the opposite of anger. The opposite of anger. The Spirit of God operating on the inside of your life. This is what He's producing, and that's the answer, the remedy for the problem of anger. That is, instead of anger, it's love, it's joy, it's peace dominating us on the inside. It's long-suffering and gentleness, ladies and gentlemen, and meekness dominating our response and relationships to other people because of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. He's producing in us the character of Christ, but it's not just the fruit that He produces, it's also the forgiveness that He develops. Back in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, and you'll see it there. Ephesians 4 and verse number 32. At the end of this chapter where Paul is dealing with the idea of putting away anger, he says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." So as the Holy Spirit changes us into the image of Christ, that means that He's trying to develop in us a heart that is characterized by forgiveness. Instead of a heart that is characterized by anger, a heart that is characterized by forgiveness. And listen, that'll fix your anger problem. That'll fix it. As Paul writes here about the forgiveness that the Holy Spirit is developing in us in verse 32, he writes about the expression of forgiveness. When he writes, and be kind one to another. Listen to me. Those who have forgiven each other will express kindness to one another instead of harshness and anger and evil speaking. He writes about the emotion of forgiveness when he uses the word tenderhearted. Those who have forgiven each other have tenderness in their heart towards that person instead of bitterness. There's a tender place in our hearts for that person that we've forgiven. You know, he writes about the expression of forgiveness, be kind one to another, and the emotion of forgiveness, tenderhearted, but also the example of forgiveness. That is, we have a perfect example about how to forgive, and the Bible gives it here in verse 32, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. In the same way that God has forgiven you, the Spirit of God is trying to lead you to forgive others. He's trying to make you like Jesus. Remember when the Lord Jesus forgave you? He's trying to make you like that. Remember when you were lost, a sinner separated from God, deserved nothing but judgment, and He had mercy on you, extended grace towards you, and forgave you? Remember when you came to Him as a sinner, undeserving, deserving nothing but judgment, and He forgave you anyway? He's trying to make you and transform you into that kind of person so that you also learn how to forgive on the basis of grace and mercy. You say, Pastor, I would forgive that person, but they don't deserve it. Well, is that how God forgave you, because you deserved it? No. It's by grace that we've been forgiven. He forgave us according to the Ephesians 1:7. Earlier in this book, Paul wrote that He forgave us according to the riches of His grace. And ladies and gentlemen, the same way the Spirit of God is trying to develop that in us. And you and I not only, listen, He not only writes here about the expression of forgiveness. He not only writes here about the emotion of forgiveness, tenderhearted, and the example of forgiveness, that is, God forgave us, but also He writes here about the experience of forgiveness. And that is, you and I were forgiven when God saved us. And that experience of forgiveness should produce in us an eagerness to forgive others. Let me just say it this way and I'll be done. When you come to God as a filthy sinner, and He has freely and fully forgiven you of so much, it's not so hard then to forgive others who've hurt us. We have been forgiven of so much. Listen to this statement. It'll help you let go of anger if you'll listen to this. Those of us who've been forgiven of so much do not have a right to not forgive others. Just like Jesus forgave us, the Holy Spirit is working in us to change us into the same image. The image of Christ, so that we can forgive just like He does. And listen, that's the remedy to the problem of anger. The power of the Spirit working in us to change us and make us more like Jesus. Who forgave us of so much. Let me ask you this question. Are you ready to put away the anger? You say, Pastor, there's reasons why I'm not angry. You didn't hear what I said a moment ago. We who've been forgiven of so much don't have a right to not forgive others. Listen, it's time to put away the anger. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You for Your word and Your people and what You're saying to us and how You're working on the inside of us. God, I pray, Father, You speak loudly to our hearts, work powerfully in our lives. Put Your finger on those areas, God, that need to be dealt with this morning. Father, I pray for those that are lost, that You'd save them for Your glory. And God, I pray for Your people that, God, You do that work of transformation, that changing work in our lives so that we can become everything You've saved us to be. And God, we'll give You the praise for all that You're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.